From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. General Motors returns to life as a public company today, its new stock offering potentially worth some $23 billion. NPR's Paul Brown joins us now. And Paul, what does GM's public offering signify?
At least a momentary turnaround, Craig, for the U.S. auto industry for one thing, and for GM in particular, but also it marks the end of the U.S. government's role, that is, taxpayers, as majority shareholders in a bailed-out GM.
And what are General Motors dealers saying about this?
Well, many of them are very enthusiastic. People like dealer Randy Jackson, he says that he's seeing a new public perception of the company when people walk into his showroom.
The transaction prices have moved up, the rebates have come down, and now people are excited about the car, not about the payment, not about the price.
So why is GM stock drawing so much interest today?
For one thing, it is a huge company, Craig. Many institutional buyers, mutual funds, retirement funds are getting in, and that's partly because some of them have to hold a certain amount of stock in companies this big. As for former employees of GM, people whose stock in the old GM pretty much went up in smoke, some of them are a little more cautious, people like retiree John Christie.
The older retirees that had a lot of GM stock, which became almost worthless, they took a pretty good financial hit on that. So a lot of those folks are not real anxious to get back in and maybe are not even financially in a position to get back in.
And this story is not over because GM still has some really big challenges, including shoring up its unprofitable European operations and trying to increase profit margins in both China and North America.
Thanks, Paul. NPR's Paul Brown reporting from Washington. The European Union and the International Monetary Fund are trying to hammer out an agreement with Ireland to provide a rescue package should that country not be able to pay its outstanding debts. The Irish government also expected to accept a loan from Britain. A federal jury's conviction of Guantanamo detainee Ahmed Gailani on just one conspiracy count out of 285 charges he faced is prompting renewed criticism of the Obama administration's plans to place other such terrorism suspects on trial in civilian courts. Several Republican lawmakers are now calling for those plans to be abandoned. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports that Gailani was the first Guantanamo detainee to be tried in a civilian court. He was charged in connection with the 1998 bombings of some U.S. embassies in Africa.
Gailani faces a minimum of 20 years in prison on his single conviction for conspiring to destroy U.S. property. The verdict could be perceived as a setback for supporters of civilian trials for terrorism suspects, even though his likely sentence is longer than several of the Guantanamo detainees who've been convicted and sentenced in military commissions. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
President Obama has invited several former secretaries of state and defense to the White House today. The move is to try to boost support for ratification of a nuclear arms treaty with Russia. This is NPR News from Washington. The leaders in the House for the new Congress are set. NPR's Andrea Seabrook says Republicans have chosen John Boehner to be the next Speaker of the House.
Virginia's Eric Cantor will be Majority Leader, and Kevin McCarthy of California will serve as whip. The GOP caucus also chose two first-term members of Congress to be freshman representatives in the leadership. Democrats will continue in January with their same leadership lineup, though with different titles. California's Nancy Pelosi as minority leader and Steny Hoyer of Maryland as whip.
Pelosi, for her part, says Democrats, who will be in the minority in the new Congress, will focus on core issues.
It's about jobs, about reducing the deficit, and it's about fighting for the middle class.
Pelosi won the minority leader's post by defeating conservative North Carolina Congressman Heath Shuler. Shuler did get a significant number of votes, though, and he says that shows a level of dissatisfaction with Pelosi among moderate and conservative lawmakers.
We've seen all the polls, the latest data that has come out, and we have to be able to communicate to the American people in order to win back the election in 2012. And we have to be a big part of that.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska is declaring victory after a final count gives her a margin of more than 10,000 votes over her GOP rival, Joe Miller.
We made history. Alaskans made history. And doesn't it just feel... wow.
Murkowski speaking to supporters in Anchorage, but Miller is not conceding. He's challenging thousands of the write-in votes, and he says he may request a recount. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.